Hey, it's Brad Milkey, host of ABC's daily news podcast, Start Here. And I'm honored to say Start Here, along with several ABC audio projects, are up for Webby Awards. Voting is open to the public, and we're all really excited about these awards, but this vote closes on Thursday. So please don't wait. You can go to abcaudio.com/webbies. That's abcaudio.com/webbies, W-E-B-B-Y-S, to cast your vote for Start Here, along with other ABC news shows. We really appreciate it.
Tonight, the desperate search is underway in Florida. Families still being rescued days later. And major new questions about mandatory evacuation orders. Should they have come sooner? And tonight, the remnants of Ian affecting the East, North Carolina, up through New Jersey and New York in the coming hours. Tonight, the staggering death toll from Hurricane Ian now rising. Survivors of the hurricane still being airlifted days after the deadly storm made landfall. Lee County alone reporting at least 54 deaths and more than 800 rescues. The new images emerging showing Hurricane Ian blasting Pine Island with wind, waves, and debris. And many now asking about those mandatory evacuation orders, should they have been issued sooner. Tonight, you will hear authorities defend their decisions. Also tonight, the remnants of Ian now along the East Coast this evening. Heavy winds, rain, flooding, the alerts tonight from North Carolina right up to New York. Rob Marciano standing by to time this out. The president and the first lady on the ground in Puerto Rico following devastation caused by Hurricane Fiona. Power and water still not fully restored. Mary Bruce traveling with the president. The major news in the war in Ukraine tonight. Ukrainian forces breaking through Russian lines, even in the territory suddenly seized by Russia. Tonight, the new images here, Ukraine's military releasing video claiming to show soldiers ambushing Russian troops in the Donbass. Ian Panel is there, and tonight, Russia's stunning acknowledgement. Back here at home tonight, the urgent search for a suspected serial killer, at least 5 murders in California. All of the victims ambushed alone at night, and what we learned today. The breaking news tonight in women's soccer, the disturbing results of an independent investigation finding systemic abuse and sexual misconduct, quote, rooted in a deeper culture, beginning in youth leagues. NFL star J.T. Watt revealing his medical scare, the tearful news conference, the heart procedure 3 days before taking the field, just as he and his wife prepare to welcome their first child. The Supreme Court beginning its new term, making history and diving in on several key issues. The deadly car crash, 6 young people killed, a passenger's iPhone automatically alerting first responders. And America strong tonight, saving the pets.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to start another week with all of you at home. And we begin tonight with the urgent search for survivors. Remarkably, these rescues still underway days after Hurricane Ian made landfall. Still playing out tonight. The staggering loss of life continues to grow tonight. At least 94 lives lost. The deadliest hurricane in Florida in modern history. Tonight, here, new images from inside Hurricane Ian as it struck. This is Pine Island, an AccuWeather storm chaser there at the time. And then look at this. Afterward, the community of St. James at the tip of Pine Island, homes shattered, many structures simply wiped off the map. The Coast Guard still hard at work tonight since we first talked with them in the hours after Ian made landfall, still performing rescues across the storm zone where roads are simply impassable. And tonight, of course, those questions about mandatory evacuations and if they could have come any sooner, even just hours sooner, could it have made a difference? Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano leading us off from Fort Myers tonight.
Tonight, across Florida, the death toll from Hurricane Ian is rising. First responders combing through wreckage around the clock in hard-hit Lee County. Officials here say they've rescued more than 800 people, but they still don't know how many are still missing.
The death toll is up to 54. That's 54 more than I ever want to talk about here.
Listen to that roar!
New video from AccuWeather Storm Chasers shows what families that rode out the storm on Pine Island were facing. The pure fury of Ian's 150-mile-per-hour winds.
Water just kept pounding the house, and we watched boats, houses, we watched everything just go flying by.
Pine Island resident Joe Conforti, overcome with emotion as he recounts coming face-to-face with a 10-foot wall of water.
We've lost so much at this point, so we appreciate you guys being here.
The island now cut off from the mainland. We jumped on a boat with Christopher Petro on Sunday. He's ferrying residents and supplies.
You don't have a generator, it's grueling. It's grueling. And then water, they
They need water more than anything.
Where do y'all think we're needed the most?
I would say St. James.
At the drop-off dock, we meet a group of trauma nurses and former military, there to lend a hand however they can.
There's no way of guessing what you're going to see, what you're going to run into. All we know is that we're here for it.
And tonight, signs of Florida strong. The folks at faith-based relief group Mercy Chefs got a tip that a local hospital needed water. When they brought some, they realized they had an opportunity to help even more.
Right now, Mercy Chefs is doing 6,000 meals a day into the five local hospitals.
With the death toll now the worst in modern history for Florida, Lee County's sheriff defending the decisions made about evacuations.
We were not in the cone. I am confident in our county manager, our leaders, our governor, all of us in law enforcement, that we got that message out at the right time.
But Lee County and most of Florida's Gulf Coast, as these hurricane maps show, was in the cone of uncertainty the entire time.
We do know the cone was wobbling. It's so difficult for people to try to track this, knowing their own lives and how they're going to get their families out of there. It's so different from so many people. Rob with us now. And these are important questions, Rob, because every hour does matter when families are trying to make these plans, figure out how they're going to get out. We know it's a lot easier for some than others.
Yeah, David, I mean, everybody has their personal challenges when it comes to evacuating. So you're right. Every hour is even more critical, especially now. And when we look at what they did as far as evacuating people, you know, could they have done it sooner? That's certainly a question that we're going to be looking into very deeply. NOAA, for one, is always looking to improve its messaging. And as far as the forecast cone is concerned, they're looking to improve that messaging to the officials and to the public. And in an era of global warming where these storms are becoming a little bit more fierce, that messaging is even more crucial.
Yeah, we were on the air with you, Rob, as it was doing its rapid intensification, as you point out, and it changes so quickly with so few hours left before it makes landfall. Lots to come on that in the coming weeks and months. In the meantime, Rob, along the East Coast at this hour, we know North Carolina, New Jersey, right up to New York, all still dealing with the remnants of Ian tonight.
Yeah, this is kind of some energy that's left over from Ian. It's not tropical, but it's causing some headaches across parts of the Mid-Atlantic, the Delmarva, and certainly Jersey. Coastal flood alerts are there for water being pushed in, rain being pushed in, and winds as well, not just today, but it looks like through tonight and through much of tomorrow. So windy, wet day. In some spots, there'll be some urban flooding. Again, this is kind of left over from Ian, but it's not tropical. That said, hurricane season is far from over. David.
All right. Rob Marciano leading us off again tonight. Rob, thank you. In the meantime, tonight, President Biden and First Lady Dr. Jill Biden on the ground in Puerto Rico today, where power and water still not fully restored 4 weeks after Hurricane Fiona. ABC's Mary Bruce traveling with the president, who told Puerto Rico today he's committed to the island.
President Biden set off for Puerto Rico today, eager to assure people here that they have not been forgotten.
They haven't been taken very good care of. They've been trying like hell to catch up from the last hurricane.
It's been 5 years since Hurricane Maria killed roughly 3,000 people. A lot of badly needed aid then held up by the Trump administration. 2 weeks ago, Puerto Rico hit again. Hurricane Fiona knocking out power across the island. Tonight, some 100,000 households remain in the dark. So many lives uprooted. Nery Aruno grows emotional, telling me all she has is what she could carry with her. Everything she left behind, now destroyed. Right now, I don't know what to do, she says. The government right now only cares about themselves. They care about the people that have money. President Biden has already pledged $2 billion to help rebuild. Today, he announced an additional $60 million.
I'm determined to help Puerto Rico build faster than in the past, and stronger and better prepared for the future.
So important not to forget Puerto Rico got hammered by Fiona weeks ago. And Mary, the president, he travels now to Florida on Wednesday after Hurricane Ian.
David, the president will be getting a firsthand look at the devastation and recovery effort there on Wednesday. One big question, though, will he meet with rival Republican Governor Ron DeSantis? Tonight, the White House isn't saying, but they are stressing this is not about politics. It's about the people of Florida. David.
Yeah, really, both sides have said state and federal government are working as one after this hurricane. Mary, thank you. Now to the major news tonight in the war in Ukraine after Russia said it had seized four territories in Ukraine. Tonight, Ukrainian forces breaking through Russian lines in territory now claimed by Russia. The four provinces Russia formerly annexed on Friday, you can see them there in yellow. Ukrainian forces now claiming a key city and nearby towns and villages. You see those two locations that just came up. Those are inside, of course, this claimed territory. And tonight, a stunning acknowledgement from the Kremlin about so-called borders. Here's our chief foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, now.
Tonight, Ukraine making major new breakthroughs on the battlefield. The Ukrainian military releasing this video last week, saying it shows soldiers storming the forests of the eastern Donetsk region, ambushing Russian troops. The Ukrainians now breaking through parts of Russian lines along multiple fronts, advancing near Kherson in the south, pushing back the Russians in the northeast, and reclaiming cities and towns in the eastern Donbass region. Parts of some areas Putin illegally annexed Friday are now already back in the hands of the Ukrainians. The Russians retreating from Liman over the weekend, a key transport and logistics hub. Captain Alexander led his men in the liberation of Liman.
How do you account for this sudden turnaround? We've seen it in Kharkiv, now we're seeing it here in Donbass.
He says it speaks to the bravery of our troops and the support of America and others. The recently liberated city of Izyum is a testament to the ferocity of the battles fought here.
When Ukrainian troops swept through here a few weeks ago, it unleashed a chain of events. Putin mobilized more troops, he annexed some of Ukraine's territory, and he also threatened the possibility of nuclear war.
Moscow's now struggling to hold territory, and in a stunning new admission from the Kremlin, even it doesn't know where the borders of its newly claimed territories actually are.
And so let's bring in Ian Pannell reporting from Kharkiv again tonight. And Ian, with the Ukrainians gaining ground across multiple fronts right in the territories claimed by Russia, obviously the question, how's Putin going to respond here?
Yeah, and I think it is a good question. Putin's made it clear he will defend these newly annexed territories by any means necessary. As you know, he's even raised the spectre of nuclear weapons. But he's also effectively boxed himself into a corner with no obvious way out, and his war effort has gone awry. I mean, the Kremlin even admitting it doesn't know where its new borders are in these territories. And I think that's what makes this such a dangerous moment. With no obvious means of achieving victory, does Putin escalate further? David?
As you point out, a precarious moment indeed. Ian, thank you. Back here at home tonight into an urgent search for a suspected serial killer in Stockton, California. They now say five murders may be linked. The most recent murder just days ago, and all of the victims ambushed alone and at night. Here's Irene Shaw.
Tonight, the urgent manhunt in California for a potential serial killer. Authorities today releasing the identities of five victims they believe are linked by the same killer or killers.
At this time, we don't know if it's a person, two or three. We just don't know.
The medical examiner confirming these men, four of them Hispanic, were all gunned down between early July and last week. And they believe this image of someone from behind shows a person of interest. Police saying all five cases occurred in close proximity in Stockton and are linked by evidence found at the crime scenes. All the victims were ambushed while alone in the dark as recently as last Tuesday.
We've got one down, multiple DSWs, start medics, code 3, please.
The victim identified as Lawrence Renzo Lopez, a former musician who once sang about violence in Stockton, his family broken by their loss.
We're all taking this hard because that much he meant to us in our lives.
The cousin of Paul Yaw, the first victim, telling me Paul was like a brother to him.
What was your initial reaction when you heard serial killer?
Horror. You know, nobody just wouldn't even think that would happen here.
And David, police saying none of the murders were motivated by robberies or gang activity. So right now, the motive is still a mystery. David.
All right, Zoreen Shaw tonight. Zoreen, thank you. In the meantime, we turn next this evening to the disturbing results of an independent investigation now out tonight into women's professional soccer, finding abuse and misconduct is, quote, systemic and rooted deep in the sports culture, quote, beginning in youth leagues. Here's Eva Pilgrim tonight with exclusive reporting from our colleagues at ESPN.
Tonight, a damning new report into U.S. women's soccer. An investigation finding abuse and misconduct had become systemic, spanning multiple teams, coaches, and victims.
We felt like we had enough information
to be able to demonstrate not only the specific conduct with respect to a number of coaches, but also the systemic failings that allowed it to happen.
The independent probe finding abuse in the National Women's Soccer League was rooted in a deeper culture in women's soccer, beginning in youth leagues, and that the teams, the league, and the U.S. Soccer Federation repeatedly failed to respond appropriately to players' allegations and evidence, allowing abusive coaches to move from team to team. The investigation initiated last year by the Federation after allegations from 2015 into former Portland Thorns manager Paul Riley became public and sparked a reckoning. Players staging a mid-game pause in solidarity. Five teams dropping their coaches amid allegations of misconduct, including Riley. Former Thorns midfielder Mana Shim speaking to ESPN's E60, alleging Riley invited her to his hotel room.
I was terrified. And I knew at that point that I had to find a way out, and I was not willing to compromise myself for my career or for this person.
Alex Morgan, one of Team USA's stars and Shim's former teammate, speaking to ESPN E60.
I just knew that he needed to be held accountable one day and that it would happen one day, but it took years for that to happen.
We reached out to Paul Riley. He has not responded. Back in 2021, he denied the allegations. As for U.S. Soccer, they are taking some immediate actions, including mandating background checks. David?
All right, Eva, our thanks to you and our colleagues at ESPN, and we'll have much more of ESPN's deep dive into women's soccer. Truth be told, the fight for women's professional soccer. That's tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and on ESPN+. Eva, thank you. In the meantime, we turn to the emotional news conference. Arizona Cardinals star J.J. Watt, after yesterday's game, sharing much more about that medical procedure he underwent just days before the game, shocking his heart back into rhythm. Here's ABC's Mola Lenghi tonight.
NFL star J.J. Watt helping lead his Arizona Cardinals to another victory. But this game was different, played just days after a heart procedure. The defensive lineman reluctantly going public before the news was leaked, tweeting, "I went into AFib on Wednesday, had my heart shocked back into rhythm on Thursday, and I'm playing today."
When they told me they were going to put me out and shock my heart, I was scared.
Millions of Americans are living with afibrillation, an irregular heartbeat which, if untreated, can increase the risk of stroke. Watt says it all started when his heart was beating weird, so he got checked out and was diagnosed with AFib. He says it's been an emotional week for him and his wife. They're expecting their first child, announcing the news on social media over the summer.
"For months, we've been looking at ultrasounds of our baby boy, and they're all extremely happy. And then, yes, Thursday, we were looking at ultrasound of my heart. It's just weird. It's just weird. I have a baby on the way."
But Watt says after the procedure, doctors assured him it was safe to return to the field. Cardiologists say many athletes with AFib are so in tune with their hearts that they can feel when something is off.
"We deliver a specialized style of current through your chest and through your heart while you're asleep. So we, in essence, allow your heart to restart on its own in a normal rhythm."
Well, it's not surprising Watt played Sunday if his doctors cleared him to do so. We're told you do not need a long recovery period after this type of procedure. If your heart is in otherwise good condition, you can return to normal activities as early as the next day, David.
All right, Mola, thank you tonight. Mola Lenghi. Next, the Supreme Court opening its new term today with Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson on the bench. Conservatives firmly in majority. Let's get right to ABC's Terry Moran, who's covered the court for years for us. Terry, history made at the court today. And, of course, they're tackling major issues already that affect millions.
They are, David. And that history, with Justice Jackson's first day on the bench, there are now four women on the Supreme Court for the first time. Different backgrounds, different approaches to the law, but that is a striking image. And for the first time, two black Americans, Justice Jackson and Justice Clarence Thomas. But the real story here, that 6-3 conservative supermajority, after last year's blockbuster term, taking up major cases this year that could decide whether to end affirmative action in college admissions, to allow business owners to refuse service to LGBTQ customers, to sharply curb the EPA's power to regulate waters and wetlands, and to give state legislatures enhanced powers to oversee federal elections. Legal scholars are saying that this could be another term where the Supreme Court pushes the law and the country to the right. David?
You'll be watching it closely, as you always do for us, Terry. Thank you. And to a consequential January 6th case now underway tonight. Five members of the Oath Keepers far-right militia group charged with seditious conspiracy. Dozens of Oath Keepers were at the Capitol. Authorities saying that stack formation on the Capitol steps. The five on trial, including founder Stuart Rhodes, are accused of planning a, quote, armed rebellion to stop the transfer of presidential power. They have pleaded not guilty. Defense attorneys call the prosecution an overreach. When we come back on a Monday night, six young people killed in a deadly crash, an iPhone 14 automatically alerting first responders from inside the crash. And tonight, the major fine, Kim Kardashian fined nearly $1.3 million, but authorities say she did not reveal.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Well, tonight, just a horrific crash in Lincoln, Nebraska. Authorities say an iPhone 14 in the car, then alerting first responders of that crash. Six young people killed when their car slammed into a tree. Police say they received an automatic recorded call from that phone, reporting the owner had been involved in a crash and was not responding. The crash is under investigation tonight. To the index tonight, Kim Kardashian has been fined nearly $1.3 million by the SEC. She's agreed to pay the fine, accused of illegally promoting cryptocurrency on her Instagram without revealing she was being paid to do so. The SEC chairman says everyone is required by law to disclose when they're being paid to promote something, including investing in securities. Before we go tonight, we are reminded of the pets, the volunteers still saving them in Florida, America Strong. Greater Good Charities flying 36 dogs and 54 cats from shelters to the Northeast. The Humane Society of Sarasota rescuing 190 animals, sending us this photo of Coda, a husky mix ready for adoption tonight. And Gulf Coast Humane Society in Fort Myers telling us they lost their roof, power, water, their team, their animals, all okay. We salute those volunteers. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.